one and all, and welcome to Film Fragments, a podcast where we take fragments of an actor, director, and genre and tell you our favorites from their catalog. My name is Brian Suffield. I'm your host, and I'm very excited to welcome you guys to this week's episode of Film Fragments, where today we're going to be talking about our favorite Ben Affleck films. Hypnotic hits theaters this weekend, a film that he is starring in, directed by Robert Rodriguez. So I thought it'd be a perfect opportunity to talk about our favorite Ben Affleck starring films. Now we're not focusing on what he's directed, although he has acted in four of the five films he's directed. So you may see one or two, maybe three of those on either of our lists. We'll have to see what happens. So I'm very excited to be talking about this topic today with our guest. He is based in Ireland and he is the host of Movies in Focus. It is Niall Brown. Niall, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here and to talk about Ben Affleck, you know, who's sort of, I've been a big fan of his for kind of 25 years now. So to be able to sort of choose my top five, it was a daunting task, but it's great to be here.
I'm very excited to have you on. I cannot wait to delve into the career of Ben Affleck. And before we delve into the career of Ben Affleck, I always like to throw a curveball question at the start of these episodes. So you have the opportunity to take one Ben Affleck character out to dinner, where it's with your family, friends, or just yourself. Which character would it be and why?
Oh, good question. I would have to say... his character from Good Will Hunting, you know, and because obviously he was, it's sort of close friendship with Will Hunting in the film. And I think, you know, he's sort of a working class guy. So I think it would be an interesting thing, especially sort of 25 years later, to see what he's like now as potentially as a character.
Yeah, that's a great answer. That's a great pick. For me, I am going to go with Tony Mendez from Argo just to hear about everything that he went through when rescuing all those people and, you know, getting some CIA scoop and everything. And also considering that they were pretending to be a film crew, and as someone who loves film, I would just love to know, like, what made you come up with that specific idea, even though I could just watch it in the film. So that's the character that I would go with for sure.
And that's another great pick. So, yeah.
There's a lot of characters to choose from with, yep, Ben Affleck's filmography. And, you know, just to get a little into yourself, talk a little bit about what you do, what got you into film, and why you love it so much.
I've sort of grown up loving film. Sort of, kind of everyone in my family has always been a big sort of film fan. And a major sort of experience for me, obviously I grew up watching Star Wars and films like that, but in 1989, the original sort of Tim Burton Batman film came out. Mm-hmm. And that sort of seeing that in the big screen and then watching the making of it on TV, sort of with the models and the costumes and all that whole aspect, sort of, it just blew my mind. So from that point on, I was kind of obsessed with film and how they were made. And I went off to university and studied film and sort of, you know, understood the concepts of how they're constructed and sort of creative writing and screenplay, that sort of thing. And then I kind of started writing online for Collider and Screen Rant about kind of 15, 16 years ago. And
wow.
Kind of off the back of that, I kind of thought, as films became more and more commercial, the kind of films that they tended to cover weren't necessarily the films that I enjoyed, even older movies or kind of star-driven films. So I kind of set up Movies in Focus in 2012 and kind of covering interviews, reviews, film news. And then sort of a couple of years ago, I decided I'd been doing sort of print form interviews a lot of, and I thought, you know what, I'm really going to sort of delve into podcasting, you know, to give the interviews that I did kind of more scope, room to breathe. So that's where the Movies in Focus podcast came in. So it's been a sort of 15, 16 years of kind of online film writing, and sort of that's kind of brought me up to where I am today.
Amazing. That's so, so exciting. That's really, really wonderful. And to go into our topic today of Ben Affleck, obviously, Ben Affleck has had an interesting journey as an actor. There was a period where he was very likable and respected, and then he was doing a massive amount of clunkers to where a lot of people didn't want to work with him. And then it wasn't until he started directing when people gained this huge amount of respect from him, even though he was already an Academy Award winner. but he won for co-writing Good Will Hunting. So why do you think a lot of people now do get excited whenever they see Ben Affleck's name attached to a project, whether it's him in front of the camera or behind the camera? And what makes you such a fan of Ben Affleck?
Right. Well, I'll start to when I became a fan and sort of go through that arc that he's had. I first sort of saw him in Good Will Hunting, probably like most people. And I mean, I thought that film was great. In fact, I remember vividly going to see it. And I had a friend at the time, and he sort of came out and he was like, oh, sort of Matt Damon's going to be a big, huge star. And I said, no, Ben Affleck's going to be a big star. You know, it's not going to be Matt Damon. And then lo and behold, they both become huge stars, you know. And it's sort of from them, kind of Armageddon, I kind of followed his career sort of through those highs and those lows. And I think he's become so respected now, like he did of that sort of fallow period in the kind of the early 2000s to mid 2000s, 2010 or so. And I think movies started to shift then, you know, that's when, you know, the comic book movies came in. But when he turned to directing, firstly, he became an incredibly good director with Gone Baby Gone, I think, which surprised everyone. But I think what he has as an actor, director, writer, it kind of goes back to the Robert Redfords, the kind of the Warren Beattys, where he's one of those sort of movie stars who kind of makes old-fashioned thrillers. And I think that's sort of a really good skill that he's got, which you don't get many of those on the big screen anymore. And I think sort of films like The Town, Argo, which you've mentioned, Live by Night, which I think is sort of hugely underrated. They're kind of classy movies. And even with Air, which I haven't seen yet. In fact, they've got a screener in my inbox. They kind of catch up on that. They're kind of... they're commercial films, but there's kind of heavy thinking behind them. And I think that's why people now see him as a respected filmmaker. And I think that's now why he's kind of, now that he's sort of turned 50, he'll probably, I would imagine, sort of seg more into sort of directing and less acting. But I think, you know, he manages to get great performances, and his screenplays that he works on also are very, very good. So I think talent kind of is drawn to that.
Yeah, I really like Ben Affleck a lot, and I really like this stage of his career to where, you know, for a while, nobody wanted to work with him, like I said, but when he started directing, all this respect started coming in because they saw that he had so much talent behind the camera, and then he would put himself in his films, and he would still find a way of delivering a really strong performance considering the fact that he was directing himself. Which, that's a very difficult task to accomplish because there are so many directors who also act in their films. And it's like, you're going to have to direct yourself to give a great performance. And if you're able to pull it off, then you know exactly what you're doing. I mean, a couple of examples that I could think of are like Bradley Cooper in The Star is Born. The fact that he directed himself and still managed to give this incredible performance is really impressive. And I have been a fan of where Ben Affleck has gone these last few years. Even in front of the camera, I do like how he's taken on more supporting roles, because you look at a film like The Last Duel, or you look at The Tender Bar, or recently Air, even though he's not the main character in those, he still finds a way of still being pivotal to the stories. And I'm a big fan of where he's gone these last few years. I'm happy that he's back to being happy, not just with his career, but his personal life, you know, ever since he and Jennifer Lopez got back together, and now they're married, of course. He just seems so much happier.
Yeah.
And that's what I love to see, because there was a period a couple of years ago where he just seemed so out of it and depressive, and he was battling alcoholism, and now he's been sober for a few years and doing really well for himself, which I'm so happy about. And I cannot wait to delve into his career. My top five list was very interesting to put together. There are some films that I almost put on here, but I think I'm pretty comfortable in saying that my top five is my top five. There will be one film on here that will probably get people to roll their eyes, but I don't care because it's my list and it's my show and I can do whatever I want here. So I just say, without further ado, let's get into our top five films starring Ben Affleck. So
cool.
What is your number five favorite Ben Affleck film of all time?
Well, speaking of getting people to roll their eyes, number five on my list is Reindeer Games. So John Frankenheimer's 2000 film, where he plays Rudy, an ex-con who gets caught up in robbing a casino on Christmas Eve, where the criminals all go in dressed as Santa Claus. So that's number five on my list. I think it's hugely underrated. It bombed at the box office. I think it sort of budgeted at $40 million, and sort of no one went to see it. I think it went straight to video here in the UK under the very generic title of Deception. I think it's a really good sort of gritty and very, very brutal kind of action film, action thriller. It's got sort of an interesting cast, Charlize Theron, Gary Sinise, Danny Trio pops up in it, Dennis Farina, who sort of is in a lot of Michael Mann films. So it's very sort of gritty, very, you know, dark, brutal, directed by John Frankenheimer, who did Ronin, and sort of a lot of The Manchurian Candidate, the original, Seconds with Rock Hudson. So it's sort of got a good pedigree, but somehow it just didn't connect. I think it was probably quite a stressful shoot. I think it was sort of shot in Canada when it's dark and sort of cold during winter. But I think it's a great, it's a festive favorite of mine that I like to stick on and kind of watch around Christmas. It's a, you know, people talk about their diehards or whatever, but I think, which is also a great movie, but Reindeer Games, it's got a nice, I like the kind of the brutality of it and the darkness, not to sound too kind of serious or mean-spirited, but I just think it's a very underrated film, and I know a lot of people either probably haven't seen it or probably very, you know, disregarded straight out, but I think it's a fun movie and one of my particular favorites.
I have not seen that one, so that one is not on my list or in my honorable mentions or my dishonorable mentions because I have not seen that one, so I'll definitely be adding it to the list for sure. I've definitely heard so many polarizing things about it these last couple of years, but it's set during Christmas, and I love myself a good Christmas set movie, so I'll definitely add it to the list and watch it around Christmas time this year.
Definitely. I highly recommend it, and when you do, let me know what you think. See if you're... You're pro Reindeer Games or you're against it?
I'll be sure to let you know. I'll be sure to let you know. So my number five is one of his more recent films. I'm going to go with The Last Duel from 2021, directed by Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott is a filmmaker that is so hit or miss for me, because when he makes a hit, he really knocks it out of the park. But when he misses, it's a massive dud. So he's got to either make a hit, or it's goodbye for him. But The Last Duel, I was so excited to see when this was announced, because I love myself a good medieval fantasy epic, and this cast sounded so exciting. So you have Ben Affleck, you have Matt Damon, you have Jodie Comer, who I adore, and you have my favorite actor working today, Adam Driver, under the direction of Ridley Scott. And this is where I feel Ridley Scott succeeds the most, when he's in the fantasy genre. I mean, you look at films like Gladiator and how that was such a success. And then you have The Last Duel. And it's so disappointing that this movie was seen by practically nobody. I mean, it came out at a terrible time. You know, people were still recovering from COVID, and theaters were still slowly making their way back up and everything. And also, this wasn't the most exciting film to watch, I could tell you that. The subject matter is very grueling and depressing and heartbreaking to watch. But I think what makes this film work so well is the three-act structure. And I think it's utilized really brilliantly of how you get each act set from the perspectives of these different characters. You have the first act being set from Matt Damon's perspective, and then you have the second act set from Adam Driver's perspective, and then you have the third set from Jodie. And I love how it felt so haunting to when that third act started and it just said the words, "the truth." Like, I got chills down my spine when that happened, and it was really, really incredibly well done. Now, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon actually co-wrote the script for this movie with Nicole Havcenter, and you could tell who wrote which act. Like, you could tell right away that Ben Affleck definitely wrote Adam Driver's act, and then Nicole wrote Jodie's, and then Matt Damon wrote his own act. But the screenplay here is fantastic, and it's the perfect example of utilizing the three-act structure. And I think the performances are incredible. Ben Affleck literally ate this film up. He went all in. He was so hammy and over the top. His hair, his wig was absolutely ridiculous, but he embraced it. He literally had a ball in this film. And I think he was the perfect comic relief for such a gruesome subject like this. I liked Matt Damon in it, but Adam Driver and Jodie Comer, I mean, they delivered career-defining performances. I think Jodie Comer should have been nominated for Best Actress. She was really incredible in this. And Adam Driver always kicks butt. And the cinematography, the sets, the costumes, the production value here is impressive. And the fact that Ridley Scott is in his mid-80s and still making movies like he's in his 30s, that's really impressive in my opinion. The guy hasn't lost an ounce of fat. Sure, like I said, he's made some misses. I really was not a fan of House of Gucci. I hope Napoleon with Joaquin Phoenix kicks so much ass. But The Last Duel really was wonderful, and it should have gotten way more love award-wise. I think it should have gotten a lot of tech nominations. I think it should have gotten the screenplay nomination. And honestly, I would have nominated Ben Affleck for Best Supporting Actor because, yes, it was a very goofy performance, but it was the kind of performance that was so embraced. Like, he knew what he was doing, and it didn't feel goofy in a cringy way. It felt goofy in a very funny way, a good funny way. So, The Last Duel is my number five. I think it's one of the most important films to come out in recent memory, and it's one that everybody should check out if you haven't seen it already. Are you gonna pass, or is this not on your list?
It's not on my list, but I do agree with everything that you said. I think it was massively overlooked. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why, except that I remember seeing a lot of, when it came out, a lot of people kind of criticizing in the UK, and I think in America as well, but particularly the UK, that there was only ever kind of one screening daily, and it was usually sort of half eight, 9 o'clock at night, where you're talking sort of a 2.5 hour movie once you factor in all your trailers. You know, that they almost essentially buried it for some reason. I don't know,
They
but
did.
yeah, and I don't know why, because I think, like you said, the performances are stellar in that film. Like you said, Ridley Scott, for a man in his 80s to make something like that, and even sort of the duel at the end of the film, that was incredibly well staged. But yeah, I mean, I sort of think 10, 15 years ago, I probably would have done 100 million at the US box office.
Oh, 100%.
You know, but I think, like you said, post-COVID, I think the older audiences were slower to come on. I think the talk around the film was that it was kind of very emotionally brutal, which probably didn't attract the younger audience,
Yeah.
which is a massive shame, because I think it's, like you said, it's a great film, incredibly well acted, and yeah, it's hopefully one of those films that will be rediscovered kind of a few years down the line.
I have a feeling it will be. I really think that down the road, this will be looked at and that people will be like, man, we really underestimated this film. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Of course you did.
Yep, I totally agree with you.
This film was so good. What did you think of Ben Affleck's performance in this film?
Again, I thought it had the potential to be Oscar nominated. I think, you know, as a supporting role, he supported the film with that performance, and you know, yes, he chewed the scenery, but you know, many's a great supporting Oscar win has gone to actors who've, you know, chewed the scenery, and I think, yeah,
Absolutely.
he should have. I think he should have got nominated for that. As yeah, like you said, the rest of the cast who were all brilliant. I think Jodie Comer was great, Adam Driver, and I mean, if you were to say a weak spot, it would be Matt Damon, but I think maybe that's because he felt too contemporary within the film. I don't know, but
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to watch Matt Damon in movies like this. I mean, I love Matt Damon personally. Like, I know a lot of people are like, he just kind of has the same shtick and everything. But yeah, he definitely felt the most contemporary of these four.
yeah.
I still think he did a good job, though. I mean, I've never watched a movie to where I've been like, oh, he sucks in it. He's always good, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think everyone's kind of great in it, but I mean, if you had to sort of say, is there a weak link? But you know, that's sort of nitpicking, really. But
Yeah.
you know, but no, again, yeah, a movie that I think if things had have gone a different way, it would be a lot more respected than it is, and that it really d it does deserve that respect.
Absolutely. So now going into our number fours, what is your pick?
Right, another controversial one. I started to start with the controversial ones. Armageddon.
Oh my God.
You see, they just don't make movies like that anymore. If you think of action movies, big budget action movies, that is kind of the end of an era, Armageddon, where you kind of had your brawny Bruce Willis characters. But it was a disaster movie. So if you look at kind of your 70s cycle of disaster movies, you know, it sort of ticks all those boxes where you've got, you know, the different characters coming together. I think it's Michael Bay at his finest. You know, Michael Bay, I think he had a great run, sort of his first sort of four movies or so, before he sort of got bogged down in the world of Transformers, which I think is probably a different podcast. But, you know, I think, you know, Affleck came out and went, you know what, I'm a leading man, and I'm going to show you that I'm a leading man by sort of making that movie. And it's sort of, Bruce Willis is the star of that movie, but you can see that it's almost kind of Bruce Willis going to Ben Affleck, yep, you're going to become the next generation of action star, you know, sort of slightly different from what we had in the 80s or 90s. I think the effects are great. I think they still kind of hold up. Yeah, some of them are a little bit chunky now, kind of 20-odd years later. The last act, the editing might be a bit too sort of fast and furious, but I think the soundtrack's great. The Trevor Rabin score, I think, is phenomenal, which kind of really helps. So yeah, I think it's a film that, yeah, it's easy to kind of roll your eyes and go, oh man, you know, Armageddon. But when I see Armageddon on the TV, when I'm flicking around, I watch it for at least 40 minutes, if not more, you know, or till the bitter end. So, and I think I'm a big fan of kind of the Jerry Bruckheimer kind of 80s, 90s blockbuster, you know, with sort of the orange filters and the kind of slow motion and the kind of the visual style. So that to me kind of came in sort of a sweet spot that he did. Kind of, you had Crimson Tide, you had sort of all those kind of later Tony Scott films, Enemy of the State. So there, to me, there's kind of a lot of talent behind it. It's kind of, it's a pure popcorn movie, but sometimes there's nothing wrong with that. And I would rather watch Armageddon than a million Marvel movies, sort of as they're churning them out.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. Yeah, I mean, Armageddon it's ridiculous, but it is a fun time. I mean, I can't say that it's not entertaining. And that Aerosmith song it's great. I love that Aerosmith song so much. But yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Armageddon in years. It's been a long time since I've watched it. But I will say it's definitely the better of the Ben Affleck, Michael Bay collaborations, because I'm sorry, I don't want to get any flack for this or start any flack, but if anyone says that Pearl Harbor is better than Armageddon, you're crazy. I'm sorry. Like, Pearl Harbor, you know, it has its moments for sure. Like, the opening when the explosion does happen, when the attacks do happen, that's very well done. But other than that, I mean, my God, what a slog.
Well, I enjoy Pearl Harbor. I don't think it's as kind of, I'll say the word accomplished as Armageddon, in that it sort of delivers. But I think if you go into Pearl Harbor looking at it as a kind of a 1940s American military propaganda movie, then it sort of ticks all the right boxes. And I like you said, that opening, the attack on Pearl Harbor, I think stands out to any sort of action sequence that you'd watch today, even the effects.
Oh, absolutely. It's so well done. I mean, you can't take away from that, of how it was utilized and everything. But yeah, Armageddon, really interesting film. And, you know, very different from my film, because I love how you brought up superhero films. I love that how you subtly brought it up. Now, obviously, Ben Affleck was not in an MCU movie, nor will he ever be in an MCU movie. Instead, he worked with the DCEU. And I know that a lot of people are very iffy with how he was as Batman. But that being said, my number four, and this is, again, I know this may roll people's eyes, my number four is Zack Snyder's Justice League, which, right off the bat, is it long as hell? Yes, it's 4 hours long. Of course it's long. Number two, is Ben Affleck my favorite Batman? No. Do I think he worked for what Zack Snyder was trying to convey? Absolutely. I think if you're going to cast anyone to play an older, broken-down Batman, I think Ben Affleck did a really, really good job. And I know that when he was playing Bruce Wayne, a lot of people were like, oh, it's just Ben Affleck. Like, I don't see Bruce Wayne. I just see Ben Affleck. I get that and everything, but I thought he was a really great Batman. And when it was announced that the Snyder Cut of Justice League was coming, I sat down to rewatch Batman v Superman, but I specifically watched the 3-hour cut because I was told that that was the true definitive cut. So I'm like, okay, I'll check it out, because I wasn't super high on the theatrical cut when it came out in 2016. So I sat down and I watched it, and I'm like, man, this is really, really solid. And I really like everything that they're showing with Ben Affleck's Batman. And I think Zack Snyder's Justice League is one of the best superhero films I've ever seen. Now, is it better made than some of the superhero films that we've gotten? Probably not. Is it a little self-indulgent? A little bit, but my God, the stakes are very high. I love the emotional arcs, and I'm just glad that Zack Snyder was able to bring his vision to life. I'm glad Warner Brothers let him present his definitive cut, because when you read the stories about what happened when Justice League was being finished in post-production, how Zack Snyder left after losing his daughter very tragically, and they brought in He Who Shall Not Be Named to basically recut the whole film and make it like a Marvel movie, and it's really disgusting what they did to the film. It's so, so terrible. And this cut, I thought, did so many wonderful things with Batman. I thought they gave him so much to do, and I loved every scene that he had. I loved all the interactions he had with everyone. I loved that the movie ended with him. I think that the additional scene that they shot for the Snyder Cut was really, really wonderful, with the dreams and how it's dystopian and, you know, Superman's evil. Then all these characters come back, and then you have Jared Leto's Joker come in, which I don't like Jared Leto Joker, but I thought that scene was really, really awesome. And how Batman's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. I thought that was great. I don't know why I squealed like a little schoolgirl. It was really wonderful. But I love the Snyder Cut of Justice League. I think it's a really wonderful piece of work. And I know Ben Affleck's coming back to play Batman in The Flash. I know that that's kind of his farewell to this character. And he has talked about in interviews of how when he was first starting out as Batman, he couldn't really find his footing. He felt like he wasn't doing that good of a job. But when he made The Flash, he felt like he found who this character was and how to bring him to life. Which, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole situation regarding The Flash. We don't talk about stuff like that here on the podcast. But I love that he got to play this character. It was a very unconventional choice, but I personally feel that he knocked it out of the park. I love his portrayal of Batman. And I love Zack Snyder's Justice League, or the Snyder Cut for short. I really think it's one of the best superhero films I've ever seen. And, you know, I wish we got more films like this. I really do wish that we got stuff like this where it wasn't just one big CGI fest. And yeah, there's a lot of CGI here, but the effects here are really, really great. And it's shot so gorgeously on film, and everyone's arcs wrapped up beautifully. I love the Snyder Cut. I could go on and on about it, probably for 4 hours, but I'm not going to do that today. So that is my number 4. Are you going to pass, or is this not on your list?
It's not on my list, but I'll incorporate Ben Affleck's sort of Batman, or my musings on Ben Affleck's Batman, into sort of, you know, the conversation about the Snyder Cut, which, again, it was a film I never thought would see the light of day, you know, because Justice League had been such a debacle that, you know, and such a failure on kind of many levels, that you never imagined it, the director's cut, where they would have to spend another $70 million, whatever, kind of come out, and it's infinitely better than the theatrical release. You know, yes, I'll agree with it. It's long, but, you know, I think it works. I think Ben Affleck as Batman is phenomenal. Going back 25 years when I saw Good Will Hunting, I said, that guy could be Batman. He should be Batman. And then he played Daredevil, and I kind of thought, well, he's never going to be Batman. That's as close as we will get to kind of Ben Affleck Batman. Kind of even the style of that film is kind of Batman-esque. I think he's phenomenal Batman. I think Batman v Superman, I enjoy it. I think I've watched it a few times. I saw the theatrical version, I kind of watched the I think I've seen it maybe 2-3 times. I think the last two times I've watched the extended cut. I think the greatest crime that we've probably had is that Ben Affleck will never get to be Batman in a solo Batman film.
Directed by him.
Directed by him, you know, written by him. You know, with that cast of characters that was built around, where you got J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon, who would have been brilliant. I love his relationship with Jeremy Irons, you know, as Alfred.
Yes.
So I think it would have been great just to get a sort of a pure Batman film with him and whatever he could have done with it. Like I said, he's a great director, good writer. But I think he was perfect as Batman. I mean, sort of, I think Michael Keaton to me is sort of my Batman growing up, but I think definitive for me, I think Affleck is a definitive Batman. I mean, although even like the Robin, I'll calm down here. I always say that the Robert Pattinson Batman is the most comic authentic, but Ben Affleck was the best Batman.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
I would say the one pro of not getting a Batman film directed by Ben Affleck was that without that, we wouldn't have gotten Matt Reeves' Batman film, which I absolutely adored. And I hope that maybe down the road, Ben Affleck will make a Batman directed film. But I feel like at this point, it's not going to happen. But, you know, we have the Snyder Cut and Batman v Superman to give us that Batman with Ben Affleck. So I'm okay with that. Would I have liked to have seen a Batman film directed by him? Absolutely. But I feel like him playing Batman was not very healthy for him. Not like physical health, but more so mental health. And then he succumbed to alcoholism, but thankfully he's clean and he's sober. And there were interviews that came out talking about how when he played Batman, he was just not in his happiest state. He loved working with all the people that he worked with, but he just felt a gigantic amount of pressure playing him. And I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, you're playing arguably one of the most influential comic book characters of all time. But, you know, I'm glad that he got to play this character. And, you know, a lot of people only thought that he was just going to go down as playing Daredevil in terms of superheroes. But he got to play Batman, and he did a great job. And, you know, I'm very happy for that. And now going into our number threes, what is your pick?
My number three is The Way Back, which I think kind of just came out before kind of COVID hit and the world shut down. So I think it had a very kind of minor audience. But I think he gives possibly his best performance of his career in that film. I think, I mean, he said in interviews that he kind of drew on a lot of his experience in the film. He's playing somebody with a drink problem whose sort of life is spiraling down, a basketball coach. And he gets kind of the opportunity to teach his old school team as a way of redeeming himself kind of emotionally and, you know, as a character. And I think that the performance that he gives in that film is powerful. I think it's to kind of see somebody who was, everyone constantly said, hey, you know, he's a very light actor, he lacked depth, that sort of thing, which I think is untrue. I think if anyone had thought that and they watched The Way Back or Finding the Way Back, I think it was called in the UK here, I think they'd be shocked at the performance and the texture performance that he's got. Kind of earlier on, you said he's giving fantastic supporting roles in The Tender Bar, the Last Duel, and he is. And he's become better a better actor as he's gotten older. And I think The Way Back is just his finest performance kind of throughout his career. And I think it shows you that he's got potential to improve even more so as an actor moving forward. But it's kind of a really strong film. Gavin O'Connor, who directed The Accountant that he also starred in. They seem to be a really good pairing. Again, The Accountant I thought was a very good kind of gritty action movie. And The Way Back is a gritty drama. And it doesn't necessarily end on a high note. It kind of ends with the promise of a high note, you know, and I think that's a very kind of ballsy move. Kind of for a studio film, you know, Warner Brothers picture. And again, I think a lot of people, like I said, haven't seen it, but it's definitely a film that if you seek it out, I think you'll be surprised at not only the quality of the film, but the quality of Ben Affleck's performance in it.
I really loved The Way Back. This was the last film I saw before the pandemic really took into effect. What I didn't anticipate with this movie was that it was going to be as devastating as it was. And Ben Affleck, I think this might be the best acting he's ever done. I don't know if he's ever been better. I can't really think on the top of my head, but, you know, taking experiences from his life and incorporating into this character of this basketball coach is really impressive. And I agree. I like when he collaborates with Gavin O'Connor. I really liked The Accountant as well. And when I found out that they were collaborating together again, I was like, yeah, this is really, really great. When you find out the reason that he became an alcoholic, it is so, so heartbreaking. And I cannot imagine having him disappear into that role, especially considering that, you know, he's a father himself. And I cannot imagine portraying this character. Honestly, with how things went down in 2020 for film, I was really holding out hope that maybe he would get a Best Actor nomination, because I personally felt that maybe he would have had a strong chance considering of the outcome of 2020 films. And even though I liked the Best Actor lineup from 2020, I mean, it was a really solid five. It would have been really great if Ben Affleck had gotten in too. I think that he deserved a nomination. And it would have been great because he's only been nominated for two Oscars. One for co-writing Good Will Hunting, which he obviously won an Oscar for. And he was nominated as a producer on Argo. So it would have been really cool if he got his first acting nomination for this. But I have a feeling that down the road he will get an acting nomination. And I'm really hoping that it's sooner than later. Yeah, The Way Back is a great film. And speaking of winning Oscars, my number three is Argo, which took home the Best Picture Oscar 10 years ago. It's shocking that it's been 10 years since this film walked away with the highest prize in Hollywood. And I love Argo. I think it was a very deserving Best Picture winner. I just think the story is so, so fun. And it's so intense, too. It's a great dramatic thriller with some elements of comedy into it. I think the idea of how this CIA agent leads the rescue of six U.S. diplomats from Iran, but they pretend to be a crew of a science fiction movie, I think that's really cool, honestly. It's such an exciting film because this is technically a film about filmmaking, but it's also a procedural thriller. I mean, I never thought that combination would work as well as it does, but it's really, really great. And a lot of it is owed to how Ben Affleck directs this thing. It flies by very quickly. It's paced so well. The script is very frenetic and hyperactive. It won the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay. And Ben Affleck, being the star of the film too, in front of the camera, he delivered a really great performance, and I think the supporting cast surrounding him also knocks it out of the park, with the standouts being John Goodman and Alan Arkin, who are fantastic comic reliefs in this film. I love the banter between the two of them. Argo, fuck yourself. I think that's great. I think it still holds up very, very well. It's been such a long time since I've seen this film. I haven't seen it, honestly, probably since it came out. Like, I've seen clips of it in the past few years, but I cannot tell you the last time I sat down to watch this movie from beginning to end. I think it's so well done, and it's a really incredible feat from a director's perspective. And the fact that he wasn't even nominated for Best Director is really sickening, considering the fact that you give the film Best Picture, but you don't nominate the guy who directed it. I think that's absolutely absurd. Now, the person that won Best Director that year was Ang Lee for Life of Pi, which I love Life of Pi. I think that's an incredible directing feat as well, especially considering that there was a lot of visual effects involved with that movie. But what Ben Affleck did with this movie was really impressive, and the fact that he was overlooked for his directing is really sickening, especially considering the fact that he was nominated and won every other directing award. He won the Globe, he won the BAFTA, he won the DGA, he won literally every directing award. And the fact that he wasn't even nominated for the Oscar is so ridiculous, in my opinion. I will never understand this snub. I don't like to use the word snub, but this is a snub, in my opinion. And the ending is also very fist pumping. It's so intense, but then once it all goes down, you pump your fist and you clap and you cheer, and it's just, oh, it's one of those feel good endings. It's so great. And yeah, I think this is one of the more deserving Best Picture winners of recent memory. It was not my favorite film of 2012. It's honestly not the film that I would have picked to win Best Picture, but it's one of those scenarios to where I'm not angry that it won Best Picture. Argo is a great, great film. I love it so much. It is my number three. Are you going to pass, or is this not on your list?
It's not on my list, but like you, I think I haven't seen it in a while, and I think if I'd probably watched it again more recently, it probably would have been potentially on there, probably dodging four or five out of the way. But again, I thought it was a great film. I thought, like you said, he directed it with such skill and precision. As we said at the start, to be able to kind of direct a film and star in it whilst you're maintaining the quality and an understanding of how it's constructed, I think, you know, when you've got a film that's that precise and that everything's kind of got to be in place with multiple performances, because I mean it's quite a big cast as everything's going on, I think, you know, it's an amazing feat. And much like you, I think he should have got the director that year, directing Oscar that year. Like you said, he won kind of everything else for it. And I think, again, it comes down to a snobbishness. I think people kind of were probably still thinking, if you think he'd only recently come back, you know, with The Town around that point and kind of a couple of commercial hits again. But I think at that point, I think if it had been made a couple of years later after he'd got a couple of more films under his belt, I think he would have won. I think there was a snobbishness at that point. But I think, you know, for an actor who was kind of just seen as a kind of a regular leading man, for him to kind of make a film that precise and that tense, I think it's an amazing feat. And yeah, it's not on my list, but again, it's another great Ben Affleck movie and great Ben Affleck performance.
It's so good. It's so great. And now our top two. This is going to be really interesting. We have no films in common yet, so I'd be really curious if we have any in common here. So what is your second favorite Ben Affleck film of all time?
Number two for me is Gone Girl. David Fincher's film. And to me, it's kind of a thriller, but I kind of always describe it as a thriller without real thrills, in that it kind of just unfolds. So it sort of takes the genre tropes of a thriller, but there's no propulsion, where he's kind of at the center of a mystery and he's trying to unravel it. But as a protagonist, and I think it's something that's in a lot of Fincher films, which no one really talks about, is the male protagonist in a lot of David Fincher films are the least intelligent people within the film. And everyone else around them is kind of two steps ahead of them at any given point. And I think it Gone Girl plays perfectly on Ben Affleck's persona as just being this kind of blockish, kind of maybe not as intelligent man as you think he is. And it is sort of the movie is built around that. And then what Fincher does is kind of bringing these interesting supporting characters, which then help unravel the mystery that he isn't bright enough as a character to solve himself, and then the resolution is actually presented to him. So I think it's a great performance, kind of playing on what people perceive him to be, whilst also kind of giving more nuance than I think people would anticipate him to have. But I think, like with any Fincher film, it's a fantastic film to look at. The construction, the music, the way I think Fincher likes to subvert his audience, so people go in with expectations and kind of pulls the rug from under you, kind of relatively quickly into the film. So you're left thinking, right, I thought I knew what I was getting here, but it's slightly different. Now, I haven't read the book. Gillian Flynn, I think, wrote the book. I haven't read the book, so it was kind of good going into it not knowing kind of how the plot unfolds. But I think as a commercial film from kind of 10 years ago, whenever it came out, I think it was a sort of an adult-focused film that is sort of dying off now, that we don't get it. And even then it wasn't as popular. And the fact it was a huge hit, and again, it's kind of got a lot of nominations, I think says a lot about the quality of the film. But I think when people talk about the film, what they overlook is Affleck's performance in it. Whereas if it had been anyone else, I don't think they could have played with audience expectations the way that they did when they cast him. So I think it's a great movie, and that's why it's my number two.
So it is my number two as well. So we now have a film in common. Crazy enough. I really cannot express how much I love Gone Girl. David Fincher, on certain days, may be my favorite working filmmaker. It's really between him and Paul Thomas Anderson as the people who are my favorite working filmmakers today. And my God, Gone Girl, what a roller coaster from start to finish. Now, I also have not read the book. I did start to read the book right before the movie came out, but I'm the kind of guy who doesn't really like reading books that get turned into movies or TV shows beforehand, because then I'll know where it's going, and then I'll be that guy who's like, well, in the book it was like this, and in the movie it's like that. Like, I don't like to be that guy that compares and contrasts one thing or another. I don't like to do that. So I read probably about 20 pages of the book right before it came out, and then I just put it down. Then I saw the movie, and my God, I was on a roller coaster the entire time. And Ben Affleck, he's perfect casting as Nick Dunn. Like, you watch the film and you're like, I couldn't see anyone else but him portray Nick Dunn. I think he has that very, I don't even know how to describe his character. He's very cocky, and he's very handsome, and, you know, I can't properly describe him, but I just think it was like the perfect cast. And Rosamund Pike as Amy, good God, what an incredible performance. I love this work so much, and I'm so glad that she got nominated for an Oscar. I think it's one of the best directed performances from David Fincher. If you were to ask me top five performances in a David Fincher film, I think she would easily be in that list. I think she delivered a very disgustingly terrifying performance, but she also has that very, like, sensitive charm to her. Like, there are moments where you do feel for Amy, and then when you realize the crux of what's going on, and then you see more of her true colors, you're like, man, what a scumbag. Just, oh my God, like, so slimy. And the rest of the cast surrounding Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike are great. I was really surprised by Tyler Perry, of how great he was in this. I think everybody was, because, you know, everyone was used to seeing him as Medea, and then they see him actually act, and they're like, wow, he's a really competent actor. Like, he actually can deliver a great performance. Carrie Coon, I really liked her. I'm a little iffy still on Neil Patrick Harris. I'm still a little unsure if he was the perfect guy to play the character that he played, but it was interesting to see him in a David Fincher movie, considering that we know him so well from his theater background and How I Met Your Mother and all these comedies. But this is a beautifully directed film. I think the screenplay is very outstanding, and I love the score by Reznor and Ross. I think it's edited really well. I think it flies by really well, even though it does take its time. The beautiful thing with Gone Girl is that it's paced in a way that builds up, like it's slowly creaking its way up to what's being revealed, which I appreciate. I know some people have a problem with how films are paced a little slower. Some people want the faster, snappy paced films. But the thing with Fincher is that most of his films aren't like that. A lot of his films are really, really long, and there's a reason why they're as long as they are, because they're building up to what's to come. And I think if this were paced a lot faster, it wouldn't have worked as well as it does. It would have, the tension would not have been there. So I think it's really, really well done. And I was expecting this to be more of an awards contender, but really the only award nominations that this got were for Rosamund Pike's performance. I think a screenplay nomination would have been deserving. I think a directing nom would have been deserving. I think this could have been the Best Picture nominee. This was one of my favorite films of 2014, and that was one of my favorite years in film. Like, practically everything that I saw that year, I loved. Whiplash, Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Gone Girl, Nightcrawler, the list goes on and on. Some of the blockbusters that came out that year were great. Winter Soldier, the first Guardians of the Galaxy, Edge of Tomorrow, the Lego Movie, Big Hero 6, How to Train Your Dragon 2. There were so many great films that came out in 2014. And Gone Girl was one of the best that year. And I would love for Ben Affleck to collaborate with David Fincher again. I really think David Fincher brings the best out of all of his actors, regardless of how big or small their screen time is. And I hope that down the road we get another Ben Affleck, David Fincher collaboration.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I think he teased out a fantastic performance. As a really good companion piece to Gone Girl, I think Deep Water, which he did a year or so ago, is a very kind of, it's an interesting double bill if you ever get the opportunity to kind of watch those two back to back.
I heard that film was an absolute riot. I haven't watched it yet, but I heard it's, you know, it's a good time, but it's also absolutely ridiculous.
It is. It's kind of like a trashier version of Gone Girl. And there is a moment towards the end of the film that did have me laughing out loud. Possibly not when you're supposed to, but I do recommend it as a solid piece of 90-minute entertainment or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out if I get a little tipsy the night I watch it. So now we get to our number ones, our favorite Ben Affleck films of all time. These are the films that we consider to be our favorite, starring this wonderful man that hails from the city of Boston. So, Niall, what is your favorite Ben Affleck film of all time?
Well, it actually, I would say the supporting character is the city of Boston, and I think it would be The Town, I think, which he directed and co-wrote. I think it's an exceptional piece of kind of modern crime cinema. So well directed by him, but I think he's great in it, kind of as a crook with kind of slightly, with the hopes of going straight, kind of one of those one last score type things where he's a bank robber. I think it owes a lot to kind of the classic 70s crime thrillers, the Sidney Lumets, the Sidney Pollacks, those sorts of classy thrillers that kind of Hollywood made constantly throughout that decade, where there's a certain amount of grit to it. I think it's well shot. The action is incredibly well staged. Sort of, there's at least one robbery in there that's as good as, or almost as good as, the robbery scene in Heat. I think it's very kind of brutal and visceral. It's a great supporting cast. He uses locations so well in that film. Like I said, the city of Boston is a character. And I think that adds so much to it, where you can tell it's somewhere he grew up. He knew those streets. He knew those people. Because I think there's an authenticity to the film that I think if it had have been directed by a hack director coming in going, oh, we're going to shoot this movie in Boston, I don't think it would have had the same core or honesty that film has. I think it's possibly the best use of John Hamm in a film away from Mad Men, in that you could have built the film around him being the leading man trying to solve these crimes, but ultimately he's a flawed policeman, whereas you can see the good side to Ben Affleck's character, yet he's flawed because he's a criminal. So it's kind of a very interesting balance there. But I think for an actor-director, for that to be your second film, for such, again, a complex piece of filmmaking, where Gone Baby Gone was also set in Boston, but it was a more intimate story where you only kind of had a handful of characters and a relatively condensed setting. I think the achievement of him coming out and going, right, I'm going to show you I can direct. And not only am I going to direct, I've got myself a great role here. And that did really kickstart his comeback. So I think, you know, you wouldn't have had Argo. You wouldn't have had, I don't think he would have been cast as Batman. So I think for me, it's a defining moment. You could probably go, there's Ben Affleck's career before The Town, and then there's Ben Affleck's career after. And I think for me, it's possibly one that sort of takes his sensibility as an actor, as a filmmaker, and perfectly merges them both together. So That is my number one Ben Affleck film.
Well, it looks like we have another film in common because it's also my number one Ben Affleck film. This is the best film that I think he's ever been in. I think this is the best film that he's directed. I brought up before that it's not the best acting he's done, but this is a great performance from him as well. Man, The Town is incredible. 2010 was another fantastic year for film. I mean, what a great year to kick the decade off with. You had The Social Network, Toy Story 3, you had this, you had, what else came out? Black Swan, you had Inception, The Fighter, all these other films. Like, honestly, a lot of the Oscar films that came out that year were really great films, period. Yep. Say what you want about some of them, but I think it was a very interesting year. And The Town, man, I love a good thriller, and I love a film set in Boston. Boston is one of my favorite cities of all time. I live in a household where my father is a Red Sox fan, so naturally my love for Boston is very, very high. It's a city that I go to as much as I can, and the whole final robbery, the climactic robbery at Fenway Park, home of the Red Sox, I mean, that is such a tense scene and a very beautifully directed sequence. I don't know how they pulled it off. I don't want to know how they pull it off because that's up for me to interpret it myself, but this is a really great thriller. But something about The Town that I appreciate, while the action sequences, the robbery sequences are really great and some of the reasons why you go into this movie, I really appreciate the more intimate moments between the characters, and I think they're directed very beautifully by Affleck. Now, Ben Affleck's character develops feelings for one of the bank employees who's played by Rebecca Hall, who I think is one of the most underrated talents working today. I don't understand how this woman does not have an Oscar. She should honestly have 3 Oscars at this point, and it's kind of disgusting that she hasn't been nominated for at least one. I feel like down the road, within the next 5 to 10 years, and I don't know if you could agree with me on this, I feel like she's going to be an Oscar winner within the next 5 to 10 years. I think there's going to be something that comes out to where the Academy notices her and they're going to give her an Oscar, whether it's a film that she's acting in or if it's something that she's directed, because Passon proved that she is a very talented filmmaker. And I think that whatever she does next behind the camera, she's going to knock it out of the park. She is fantastic in this. Jeremy Renner is amazing in this. He was Oscar nominated for his performance here. John Hamm as the cop. I mean, listen, I'll never say no to the Hamm being in anything. Like, he is so, so good in this. Blake Lively, I loved her in this as Jeremy Renner's sister. A very different performance from her because when this came out, Gossip Girl was going on. And I remember when I saw her in the cast, I'm like, oh, no, not the girl from Gossip Girl. What? She's really pretty, but no, I don't know if I buy her in this. But then she did great. I mean, her screen time is pretty limited, but it was a very compelling performance. And Chris Cooper has a small role in this as Ben Affleck's father. I love the sequences between the two of them. And I never know how to pronounce his name, and I feel so bad. Pete Postlethwaite.
Pete Postlethwaite, yeah.
Yeah, he is so good in this. And it's one of his final performances. And oh, man, the way that his character goes out, it still, like, makes me, it makes me gulp every single time I watch the movie with him in the flower shop and then what Ben Affleck does to his character and where he, let's just say where he sent him a gift. I don't want to spoil anything else, but let's just say it's a lot. But, man, no, this is a great crime film. It's a great thriller as well. I remember when I first saw the poster for this movie and it's, you know, them dressed as nuns in the masks. Oh my God, I felt like I was watching a horror movie. I thought going into this was going to be a horror movie just by looking at the poster, but it obviously was not that. It was a crime thriller and a really great crime film. I don't know if Ben Affleck will ever top this when it comes to his directing. I really think that this is his grand opus behind the camera. Obviously, this wasn't the Oscar-nominated film that Argo was, but Argo definitely was more in line with what the Academy would nominate, while this more so wasn't. And I'm glad that this has gained the following that it has gained these last couple of years. It's hard to believe that this movie is 13 years old because it doesn't feel 13 years old. It feels like it just came out like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I love it so much. I really do love The Town. It's a great thriller. It's a great Boston film. And it's, to me, the best film that Ben Affleck has associated himself with.
Yep, I totally agree. I think, yeah, like I said, there's before and after. And I think this sort of second half of his career has really been, you know, off the back of The Town. And I think, yeah, he hasn't made a film that good, possibly more technically accomplished, but none that sort of packs the punch or the entertainment value or anything of The Town. But no, I'm glad we got to agree on the last two.
Yeah, definitely. So before we get into talking about some of the films that didn't make our list, let's recap our list from 5 to 1. So Niall, what is your list?
My list, number 5 is Reindeer Games, number 4 Armageddon, number 3 The Way Back, number 2 Gone Girl, and number 1 The Town.
And to recap my list, coming in at number 5 is The Last Duel, number 4 is Zack Snyder's Justice League, number 3 is Argo, number 2 is Gone Girl, and number 1 is The Town. So that is it with our list, so let's talk about some of the films that didn't make the cut. So Niall, what are some films that you want to give a shout out to?
Well, I mean, I find this incredibly tricky because I kind of sort of said, yes, I will come on and talk top 5 Ben Afflecks, and all right, that should be easy enough. And then you kind of, you look through and he's got such a very interesting filmography. And it was like, you know, there's so many, you know, like we talked sort of through this, but we didn't mention Good Will Hunting, which is a great film.
Yeah. I mean, Good Will Hunting may objectively be the best film that he's in, but he's obviously not the main character. And yes, he co-wrote the film, but like, you don't really watch Good Will Hunting for Ben Affleck. Like, when you think of Good Will Hunting, you think of Matt Damon and Robin Williams. But Ben Affleck is obviously great in the film. Like, he does a great job in it.
Yeah, and that's it. When I drew up this list, I kind of went, right, I'm only going to select movies where Ben Affleck is the star, you know, or it's as close to the star as possible. Because another great film that he's in is State of Play with Russell Crowe. Which is a really good political thriller based on a British TV series from about 20 years ago. He really has a supporting role in that, but it's a great, great thriller. And again, I don't think a lot of people have seen it.
That's a Rachel McAdams film, right?
Yep, she is a kind of a young journalist alongside Russell Crowe's kind of more seasoned pro. And Ben Affleck's a politician caught up in this conspiracy and a murder, and it's just a really, really good film, you know. And I think not a lot of people have seen it, and Affleck's performance is really good, even though it's kind of, you'd be hard pushed to imagine that him and Russell Crowe went to university together. You know? But that's another film that if he had have been the lead in that, or kind of a larger role, I that probably would have been on the list. And again, there's films like something like Smoking Aces, you know, Joe Carnahan's film, which he's got a very small role in that. That's a great movie. He did a film with Kevin Costner about 15 years ago, and Tommy Lee Jones, The Company Men.
Oh, I love that movie. I love that movie.
You know, and I mean, that probably should have been on the list, but you know, it's a really good drama, you know, with really good performances and a kind of a good heart to it. So yeah, so many, you know, and even something like, I think, Batman v Superman, you know, like I said, he's a perfect Batman. So, you know, that should have been on the list. Hollywood Land, where he plays George Reeves, you know, the Superman actor.
Yeah, that's a massive blind spot for me. I wanted to watch that before the podcast. I just didn't get around to doing so. And I feel really bad because I've been told for years how that's like a great film. And he was also, again, serious award buzz for it. He was nominated for a Golden Globe for it.
That's it. Yeah, and again, one of those things where it is a great performance. I mean, to go kind of back on what we said, it's not as good as his performance in The Way Back by any stretch, but you know, it is sort of 10-15 years ago, so he, you know, he has grown as an actor. And then you could sort of rattle off all the Kevin Smith films that he was in, you know, which is, you know, he's relatively integral to. So I mean, even he played Jack Ryan, you know, in The Sum of All Fears.
That's right, yeah.
You know, which again is an overlooked movie. I kind of find it strange that he never played Jack Ryan again, where that movie came out in 2002, maybe, I think it was. The same kind of summer as the first Bourne film, The Bourne Identity. And mm-hmm. they made comparative money, you know, at the US box office and I think globally. Yet we got three other Bourne movies with Matt Damon. We didn't get another Jack Ryan movie with Ben Affleck. So that's another one. Changing Lanes, a film that he did with Samuel L. Jackson, which is a kind of dramatic thriller where the two of them have a car accident at the start of the film and it sort of leads into sort of an escalation against both of them. That's a great film, you know. So there's so many kind of good movies that you kind of go, oh, maybe, you know, like even Live by Night, which was a massive disaster at the box office, I think is a really good, strong film that I think is kind of up there with, you know, Gone Girl, at least on his filmography as a director.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so many films. I mean, you could just rattle through them all. And even, you know, lesser films, you know, I'm trying to sort of think off the top of my head here. But, yeah, it's so many of the films, like The Accountant, you know, which is overlooked, which made a hell of a lot of money, you know, which he gives a good performance, you know, that people don't often think of because it wasn't so, you know, it wasn't a superhero film. It wasn't a film that got a lot of, you know, awards attention. So I think a lot of the quieter films that he does tend to be the more interesting, you know, not necessarily the best, but definitely films that you go, do you know what? I can appreciate that film and you can see why he made them, you know, and I always say to people about Ben Affleck, you know, they talk about how his career was unsuccessful, where he makes bad choices. And you kind of go, no, if you were in his position, you would make each and every one of those films. You know, if somebody goes, do you want to be the lead in a Jerry Bruckheimer, Michael Bay action movie? Yes, of course you would. Would you like to play a Marvel superhero? Yes, of course you would. Would you like to play Jack Ryan? Of course you would. Do you want to be Batman? You know, you jump at the chance. So all the films, you know, do you want to make a John Woo action film? Of course you would, you know. So although the film may not be great, the reasoning behind them, you can see why he probably jumped at the chance to make each and every one of those.
Yeah, so in terms of the honorable mentions for me, I mean, excluding the films that you put on your list, like The Way Back, I cannot wait for you to watch Air. Air was so, so good. And I'm sad that you didn't get to watch it beforehand, considering that you said you got a screener for it. It would have been real. I feel like it would definitely be, maybe it wouldn't make your top five, but I feel like it would be very close to making your top five because it is, it's the kind of film that, you know, the reason why a lot of us go to the movies to see these exciting crowd-pleasing stories. And it's a great example of a crowd-pleaser. It's so well-made. And, you know, as someone who doesn't give a shit about basketball or shoes or anything, I loved it so much. It's one of my favorite films of the year so far. Like I brought up before, I really liked The Accountant and Batman v Superman. I'm glad you brought up The Company Men because that was a really, really great film. Criminally underrated that nobody ever talks about. It's a much smaller film, and I love that ensemble. Ben Affleck, Kevin Costner, Tommy Lee Jones, Chris Cooper. It's really, really great. And Good Will Hunting, of course. I mean, you can't talk about Ben Affleck without acknowledging Good Will Hunting. He co-wrote the script. And they were my age when they won the Oscar. I'm 25 years old, and the fact that Ben Affleck won an Oscar at 25, it's like, oh my God, what the hell am I doing with my life? Like,
I know what you mean, yeah.
It's like, damn, what the fuck? But it's so good. And honestly, even though he's not in it, I really do think we should give a shout out to Gone Baby Gone. That was his directorial debut, and it's one of the best directorial debuts I maybe have ever seen, especially from an actor. Like, that's a really great crime thrill. That's a great film, period. Yeah. That's an awesome film.
That's it. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you could probably imagine that he wanted to play the Casey Affleck role in that, but probably back then he was so kind of ice cold that it probably wouldn't have been made with him in it.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, I really can't picture anyone but Casey playing that character now. I think Casey, I've always looked at it as Casey is the better actor, but Ben is the better director. That's how I've always looked at it. And that's not to say that Ben isn't a good actor. He's a very talented actor, but I feel that he is better behind the camera than he is in front of the camera. And Casey is far better in front of the camera than he is behind the camera. I mean, I know he hasn't directed as much. He only did that Joaquin Phoenix movie. What's it called? I'm Still Here.
Yes.
Is that what? Yeah, he did that movie, and I haven't seen it myself, but I just think that Ben Affleck is far better behind the camera, but he's really proven himself these last few years that he's also great in front of the camera too.
Yeah, I can really see him becoming the mentor character, you know, in a lot of films, sort of with younger actors, that kind of mm-hmm. grizzled mentor, where you had Morgan Freeman sort of play it for a while, and Liam Neeson touched on it for a bit. You know, he's got the kind of the size and the stature, and I think he'll have the gravitas to do something like that.
Definitely, definitely. And to close out our thoughts on Ben Affleck, I'm just happy that he's at this stage in his career where he's doing so well for himself in front of the camera and behind the camera. I'm happy that he's back directing films, but I'm also happy to see him acting in films again too. And, yeah. You know, the reason why we're talking about Ben Affleck this week is because he's in a film called Hypnotic, directed by Robert Rodriguez. Now, I have no idea what this film is about. I haven't watched the trailer. I've avoided every possible thing about this movie because I want to go in as blind as possible. But I think it's cool that he's working with Robert Rodriguez. Yep. And, you know, it's probably going to be super ridiculous and super fun. So I'm excited to see it personally, yeah. Considering that I don't know anything about it. I mean, what's your excitement for Hypnotic?
I am really looking forward to it. I think I've seen the trailer, and it really looks like a old-fashioned 90s kind of action film with a sci-fi twist. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in the best possible way, you know, like a good throwback. And I think the plot seems to be a bit wacky, but I think it has potential to be great entertainment. And again, Robert Rodriguez... It's strange seeing Robert Rodriguez make a film like this away from his kind of usual fare, which tends to be more cartoonish. This looks very kind of more serious. You know, it's the premise is quite sort of sci-fi tinged, but it looks relatively grounded. So, I can't wait to see it. I think, and Affleck looks like he gives a sort of a great leading man performance, which I think, you know, he looks like a movie star, so why shouldn't he give a leading man performance?
Definitely, definitely. I am just so happy that he's doing what he does. He really is a talented man, and he is so great. And also, to anyone listening to this podcast, I highly recommend that you guys go listen to his episode of Smartless, where he just talked about his career, his love life, and everything. Like, it's a great podcast episode. And if you're a big fan of Ben Affleck, I highly recommend that you check that episode out.
I agree. I've listened to that myself. It's a really good episode.
It's so good. It's so good. Niall, it has been an absolute blast having you on today to talk about Ben Affleck. Thank you so much for coming on and gushing about this wonderful man. I really appreciate talking to you this past hour. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute blast.
No, well, thank you for having me. Like I said, I've been a big Affleck fan for years, so to be able to sort of choose a bunch of films, you know, talk through my top five and everything else that sort of surrounded that, I think it's been great. So it's been a wonderful sort of hour or so with you. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And where could the people find you online? Where could people find your work?
They can find me on moviesandfocus.com or on Twitter at moviesandfocus.
So I will put that in the description below, and you guys could follow me on all social medias at Brian Suffield. You guys can subscribe to the show on any podcast platform of your choice. We have a Twitter and Instagram, so you guys could stay up to date with what's going on in the film fragments world. We have a lot of great guests coming your way, lots of great topics. I say this every single week, but thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for sticking around with the show. Listen to these episodes of me gushing with these wonderful guests about the topics that they are most passionate about. Thank you guys so much. Let me know your favorite Ben Affleck films. I'm really curious to hear your guys' list. Once again, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you guys for the very next episode of Film Fragments. Take care, everybody.